This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Psalms. And now here's Pastor Sandy in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, with today's edition of Sandy Adams Radio.
You know, in medieval England, there was a custom. Before a convicted criminal swung from the gallows, he would have a clergyman read him a psalm. Well, when George Wishart was ready to be hung, he chose Psalm 119. George had a little Bible knowledge under his belt. And so he chose the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119, 176 verses. The story goes that two-thirds of the way through the reading of the psalm, a pardon came, freeing George Wishart. George's knowledge of the Bible saved his life. If old George had slipped up and chosen Psalm 117, he'd have been dead meat in a few seconds. George Wishart, though, is not the only man who's been saved by Psalm 119. Many a man has been rescued and saved and transformed by this psalm, not necessarily by its length, but by its content. Psalm 119 is the Bible on the Bible. It's all about the Word of God. In fact, 10 synonyms are used in Psalm 119 for the Bible. It's called the law, the way, precepts, the testimony, the word, the commandments, the judgments, the sayings, the statutes, the truth. You know, one of the TV shows I watched as a kid was The Guns of Will Sonnet. Anybody remember The Guns of Will Sonnet? What a great show. It starred Walter Brennan, who next to John Wayne was probably my favorite actor. He played this grizzly old coot who always had a famous saying. He said, "No brag, just fact." In essence, if you can back it up, man, it ain't bragging. Well, that's how I see the 119th Psalm. For 176 verses, the Bible brags on the Bible. It sings its own praise, and it's all true. No brag, just fact. Psalm 119 is also an acrostic. It's divided into 22 sections, 8 verses each. 8 times 22 is 176. And each section, and then each verse within that section, begins with a succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew alphabet begins with the letter Aleph. The second letter is Bet. Put the two together, Aleph and Bet, and you get alphabet. That's how we get the word. Also, in Hebrew, each letter is illustrated by a picture. And tonight we'll touch on the letters and their pictures. Psalm 119 is the ABCs of Scripture. Well, the first letter, as we said, is the letter Aleph. Everybody got it? Aleph in the Hebrew is depicted as an ox, a beast of burden. And listen, my friend, if you'll let the Bible carry your burdens, it will do a good job. If you'll learn to lean on its wisdom, if you'll trust in its knowledge, the Bible can be your burden bearer. Verse 1 begins, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." Blessed, notice the double blessing here, "are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments." Notice that. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes." We need direction in life, do we not? We need guidance in life. I read a quote this past week from Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby said, "Women don't want to hear what you think. They just want to hear what they think in a deeper voice." Well, that's not true of women, not just true of women. That's also true of all of us. We like people to agree with us. You know, we like to hear what we think, not necessarily what God thinks or what others think. The purpose of the Bible isn't just to confirm what you think. It's God's means of directing our steps and renewing our minds and shaping our lives. We all need direction, and the Bible provides it for us, God's direction. Notice, too, the psalmist's desire in verse 6 is to look into, notice, all your commandments. He's not content with just a little here and a little there. Paul reminded the Ephesian elders before he left them that he had given to them the whole counsel of God. And this is the psalmist's desire, to know all of God's word, the whole Bible. You know, my former pastor, he would sort of skip around in the Bible. He had his pet passages, and over the course of a year or so, he'd preach, you know, on those favorite passages. Other chapters, though, he would avoid like the plague. The net effect was twofold. I didn't know the Bible in its context, and there were some huge pieces missing from my theology. I had what I call a Dalmatian theology. All I knew was a spot here and a spot there. I love this quote by A.W. Tozer. He writes, "The Word of God, well understood and religiously obeyed, is the shortest route to spiritual perfection. And we must not select a few favorite passages to the exclusion of others. Nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian." I believe that. We need all of the Word of God. That's what we do on Sunday nights. We go verse by verse from Genesis to Revelation. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 tells us, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction." Well, the psalmist continues, "I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." Well, the second stanza of Psalm 119 begins in verse 9 with the letter bet, which is depicted as a house. Bet means house. Bet Shan, the house of. Bet Seda, the house of Seda. Bet means house. And the Bible provides us a house. In fact, the Bible is our directions home, is it not? To God's house. The Scripture is our stairway to heaven. It takes us home to God. It is a house for us as well. And verse 9 begins by posing an intriguing question. I love this question. He says, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" Now notice he didn't say, "How can a little child cleanse his way?" Or, "How can old grandma cleanse her way?" Now, I mean, little kids and grandmas, they're not the most notorious sinners, are they? I mean, what's the big deal if a little child or a grandma cleanses her way? Oh, but young men. Notice he says, "How can a young man?" Young men, oh my. If anyone needs their way cleaned up, it's a young man. It's adolescent males. These are the hotheads. These are the guys that are cocky and reckless and hormonal and stubborn and impulsive. If you can cleanse the way of a young man, you can affect anyone. And what performs this kind of industrial cleansing? By taking heed according to your word. Guys, only the Bible has the power to cleanse a young man's way. Only the Bible can renew your mind and transform your character and tame your lusts and create a new outlook and break old habits and produce a sensitivity and spawn self-discipline and refocus your priorities and develop a strong faith. Only the Bible can do those things. Hey, there are 1,000 shortcuts. There's always some spiritual fad that promises instant results. Our only hope, though, is a steady diet of God's Word. You know, D.L. Moody said that he prayed and he prayed and he prayed for more faith. He prayed for an increased faith until he was blue in the face, but it never came. Then one day he stumbled over Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He said he picked up his Bible and started reading, and faith has been growing ever since. The Bible builds a strong faith that has the power to change our lives. Get into the Word. Let it cleanse your way as well. Well, verse 10 tells us, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." Notice you've got to stay, not wander. God's Word is powerful, but the key is heeding what it says with your whole heart. To not just flirt with the Bible, but to embrace it, to heed it, to love the Word with all you've got. Thomas Aquinas said, "I have no rest but in a nook with the book." Psalm 119, verse 11 is a verse I learned as a child. "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." I like that. You know, the Bible is like a road map. You know, if you're in a strange city, you don't just read the map one time and then throw it away. You keep that map with you. You keep it in your back pocket as you walk around, as you tour the city. Recently, we had the opportunity, the pastors and I had an opportunity to visit London. And the whole day, I was walking around. I had my map stuck in my back pocket. And every time we'd turn a corner, I'd pull that map out and I'd check my bearings just to make sure I was headed in the right direction. This is how you need to use your Bible. You need to keep it in your back pocket. You need to hide it in your heart. You need to consult it often. It'll help you keep your bearings around every corner, in every turn. He says, "Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches." I mean, God's word means more to him than all the wealth in the world. Sadly, the Bible is a treasure chest that many people never open and never spend. He says, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Now, the third stanza begins with this letter here, the Gemal, right here. And the picture that goes with that letter is the picture of a camel. You know, a camel is made for the desert. It endures the drought of the wilderness with a minimal need for water. And likewise, the person who drinks up, who slurps up God's word, can go a long time and can endure spiritually dry and thirsty and dusty places. The person who's full of God's word has a great endurance. Verse 17, "Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Have you prayed that prayer? Before you sit down and read your Bible, do you pray that? "Lord, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word." You know, the psalmist knows that he needs God's help to get the most out of God's word. And this is also true of you. The Bible is the only book that brings with it the author to help you understand the innuendos and the insights. This is why, to fully appreciate the word of God, you always need to ask for the help of the Spirit of God. He says, "I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times." Notice the psalmist has become addicted to God's word. His soul breaks with longing. You know, the Bible is the only positive addiction that I can commend to you tonight. All other addictions drag you down, ruin your life. But the Bible is the one positive addiction that will build into your life and strengthen your life. Verse 21 reads, "You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." I like that. The word of God is the psalmist's counselor. You know, the psalmist believed that God's word had the answer for every problem he encountered. He believed that the Bible was sufficient for spiritual health and emotional happiness. He needed no other counselor than the Bible. I think this has been the church's belief through most of its history, through 2,000 years of history, up until just recent times. The church has believed that the Bible is sufficient, that the Bible is enough. The Bible is all we need. Sadly, though, for the first time in 2,000 years, the modern church has assumed that the scriptures are not enough. And we've come to a place where we supplement the scriptures with psychology. The belief today is that the Christian needs a couch as well as a Christ, Freud as well as faith. I say hogwash. Certainly, the Bible isn't the exhaustive index of all knowledge. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us how to build a rocket or change the plumbing fixtures in the toilet. But when it comes to spiritual and emotional health, the Bible is the authoritative source. The Bible applied correctly and skillfully to a person's life is all the help you need to affect spiritual and emotional wellness in your life. Please don't be duped into thinking that you need more than faith and understanding and obedience to God's word. Make the Bible your delight. Make it your counselor. Expand and stretch your faith in God's word, and you won't need a shrink. Get that? Expand your knowledge of God's word, and you won't need a shrink. Well, the fourth stanza begins with the dalith, which is depicted as a door. And the Bible, oh my, what a great picture for the Bible. It is the door that opens up into a world of blessing through which we can walk into God's truth. He says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Notice this, my soul clings to the dust. Isn't this the human tendency? I mean, the human soul tends to cling to the dust. It tends to gravitate downward rather than upward. I think humans are subject to soul gravity. I mean, this world just sort of pulls us down, down, down to the dust. It's the Bible, though, that revives us and gives us a Godward trajectory and gives us wings to allow us to soar up, up, up. It elevates our lives. He says, make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wondrous works. I'm afraid that Christian meditation is a lost art in the church today. You know, Eastern meditation is what people seem to be into, but Eastern meditation is the closing of your mind. In Eastern meditation, the idea is to turn off your thoughts and focus on just a single word or maybe a narrow spot. Christian meditation, though, is just the opposite. It expands your mind. It's an avenue of understanding. It's the opening up of your mind to all of God's truth, to new truths, to the wondrous works of God. How we need to revive Christian meditation. The idea of opening up our minds to the things of God, to meditate on his wondrous works. He says, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying. Oh my, shouldn't we all pray that? Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. Notice the psalmist clings to the scriptures. He probably had a really well-worn Bible. Just really wore it out. It was a used Bible. It wasn't just sitting on the shelf collecting dust. Let me ask you to look down at your Bible. Has it barely been open lately? I mean, are there places in your Bible where the pages are still brand new? Now, maybe you just got a new Bible, and you get a mulligan for that. But how worn is your Bible? Is it a well-worn Bible? I love the old saying, a Bible that's falling apart is an indication of a life that's not. Verse 32 is a great verse that brings up some provocative questions. He says, I will run the course of your commandments. I will run the course of your commandments. Have you ever allowed the Bible to run its course in your life? Think about that. Have you allowed the Bible to run its course? I mean, you started out reading it, and then you studied it, and then you meditated on it, and then you applied it, and then you let it shape your thinking, and it affected your desires, and then it altered your actions, and it changed your lifestyle, and it even affected your friendships. When you let the Bible run its course, then look for its effects. I think you'll be pleased. It enlarges your heart, the psalmist says. When you let it run its course, it will enlarge your heart. Let the Bible have its effect. The Word of God is like a seed that has to be planted and watered before it grows. You can't rush the process. You have to let it run its course. Let the Bible run its course, and you won't be disappointed. It will enlarge your life. The impatient person after instant results is the one who never grasps the Bible's benefits because he never lets the process take place in his life. Well, the fifth stanza begins with the Hebrew letter he, which is illustrated by a window. The door and the window stand side by side. You know, the door allows me to walk into God's presence. The window allows me to peer into his secrets. Through the door and the window, I can know the ways and the whys of God. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Notice, again, the Bible demands our whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Oh, wow. The psalmist has been talking about the wondrous works of God. Yet in contrast, how much time has he spent occupied with worthless things? I went home this afternoon and I turned on the Lakers and the Utah Jazz. Pretty worthless game. But my eyes weren't open very long because they closed and I went to sleep. And I woke up about 5:30. So I didn't look at worthless things for too long. Just sort of to get me in a good napping mode. But let me ask you, how often do you look at worthless things? It's one thing to be subjected to the filth and to the unbelief of the world. But if for no other reason, then the time you spend on worthless things is time that you can't spend on the good stuff, God's Word. That's all the more reason to turn away from worthless things. I read where the average Christian spends 9 years of his or her life watching television. 9 years. While in contrast, we spend about 4 years reading the Bible. And that's an avid Bible reader. It said that the average reader can read through the Bible from cover to cover in about 71 hours. So if you want to go home and start tonight, we'll call you on Thursday and see how you've done. But maybe you don't want to just sit down and read it all at one time. 71 hours, though, is what it takes. Divide that up over 365 days. And did you know that you can read the entire Bible in 1 year by taking just 12 minutes a day? Just 12 minutes. Doesn't take much. Just setting aside a few worthless things to focus in on the one thing that's most important. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Well, the next stanza starts with this letter Wah, which is depicted by a nail or a peg. In other words, the Bible can be trusted. It's the hook on the pegboard. You can hang your hat on God's Word. You can hook your life to the Bible. It will support you. He says, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I mean, his compliance with God's word has given him confidence even before men.
Thanks for joining us today on Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams, as he continues in the book of Psalms. Pastor Sandy is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia, where he brings you messages from the Bible, book by book and verse by verse. We know that life can be challenging. That's why we want you to know that you don't have to go through it alone. If you have questions about Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain, or if you're in need of prayer, please call us. Our phone number is 770-736-2828. Again, that's 770-736-2828. We would love to hear from you. The psalmists, as they are called, wrote and cataloged this book with the hopes that it would encourage future readers to continue in a life of praise and worship to God. I bet they never imagined the impact it would have on this growing genre of music today. To learn more about this ministry, head over to sandyadams.org. Once again, that's sandyadams.org. While you're there, check out Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain under the About tab. We invite you to join us this Sunday. We have services at 9:15 and 11:15 a.m. More details can be found online at sandyadams.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but we'll catch up with you next time on sandyadams.org.